funny song.
It's a good song.
Stuck in the middle with you.
That's where we are.
It's a metaphor.
Stuck after all these years. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas shows you. Yeah, something's not right with the Sixers. That's for sure. Every May, it is the same darn thing. Out. And yesterday was ugly to the New York Knicks. Clowns to the left of me. Jokers to the right. I guess that makes Douglas a joker.
Yeah, I guess.
You're to my right now.
Yeah.
I'm in the middle.
You're
clown
in the middle.
Clown to the left. Joker. Joker to the right.
Yeah, that's about it. That's us today. All right.
Yeah, we'll take that.
We'll get to your phone calls here in a second. Your reaction to the Sixers. Do you agree, disagree that Joel Embiid era ended yesterday? Again, when I say it, it's not... In practicality, I recognize he's probably going to be here. It's over, though. Like, sometimes, you know, you could... a relationship could end, but it still lasts for a while. But there's a moment where it is over. The Joel Embiid era ended yesterday. There's just no shot they're ever going to win with him as a major part of the team. None. And the fact that they keep doing this over and over is... It's really an embarrassment on them and on us. All right, we'll get back to your reaction to the Sixers here. But they weren't the only team to get swept out of the same building. But my goodness, did it sound different, right? Yesterday, we heard a lot of Let's Go Knicks and Knicks fans chanting as they took over the building. And there was zero for the Sixers fans to cheer for yesterday. Opposite on Saturday night. So the Flyers go down in OT to the Hurricanes. They fought. They lost to a team that was clearly better than them. A team that might win the cup. A Hurricanes team that looks like... They are a juggernaut right now. I think they're the first team to what, the 85 Oilers?
Yes.
To win
the first two. And without
sweep.
Yeah, without losing a game.
Incredible. They're on an incredible run to start the postseason. So they lost to a much better team. But I think there's a positivity around the Flyers that just has not been present with the Sixers in a long time because it's the beginning for them. Let's hear what it sounded like as the Flyers were kind of shaking hands with the Hurricanes and it was ending on Saturday. That's pretty loud, Hugh. I mean, that's a team that just got swept. That is a home loss in the playoffs to end the season. And that sounded to me, and you can kind of see it with some of the camera angles, of a lot of people staying in their seats to kind of say thank you and cheer the Flyers as their season ended.
Yeah, it brought a lot of people back to hockey, man.
Mm-hmm.
It brought a lot of us, you know, out to see the matches and the gatekeepers. It gave them something to do. So there's a lot going on with this. And I think that a lot of people feel like this is the beginning of something special. You know, because and I'm not mad at them. The gatekeepers, you know, you keep all the gates you want to keep, you know. But it was fun to be able to talk about hockey on the fly like we did for the last couple of weeks. It really, really was. And now you look at this team and you see the potential of what it could possibly be.
Yeah, no, it was an exciting run. I think there's a lot of reasons to feel excellent about where the franchise is moving forward. They're ahead of schedule. And now there's the exciting part moving forward will be how do they build off this, right? What do they do this offseason? Do they go after an established star?
Mm-hmm.
What happens with the roster the way is it? Do they kind of move to a point where they try to go all in to kind of move to the next step next year? Or is it more of a, hey, we'll add a little bit, but we're not going to rush this? I mean, those are the questions they have to answer now, and that's for Breer and Jonesy. And we'll get to all that. But I think proud is a good word for the Flyers, considering where they were at the Olympic break. Where they got to get into the postseason, the series win over the Penguins, and I thought for the most part they fought really hard against the Hurricanes. I mean, two of those games go to overtime, Hugh. I mean, it's rare to see a series where I did feel like man for man the Flyers were outmanned, right? Like the other team had more ready to go championship kind of players, and yet two of the games go to overtime. I mean, they
fought hard.
They fought the series could be 2-2 or 3-1 right now, even though they're not even close to as good. That's a credit to them.
Yeah, and they fought hard, man. That's the thing that jumped out to me because you could clearly see the difference in the two teams and where the Flyers are trying to be, but they still fought hard. They still fought hard, and I think that's why people did what they did because they saw that there was no quit in that Flyers squad.
Yeah, there wasn't. Let's hear Rick Tocchet after the game talking about the fans.
I think it's amazing. Like I really wanted to thank the fans for that. That was awesome for them to cheer us and the yellow gold Flyers and stuff. That maybe puts us on the map a little bit. You know, I was just talking to Jonesy. He was saying, "Man, that was awesome to hear the fans cheer the guys on." So that's a good thing for the guys to understand this summer. You know, we get this fans behind and we get this organization back on the map. And we got a taste, right? Now what it's going to take. But yeah, I'm really, really like to thank the fans for that. That was wonderful.
Well, they've got this fan base back, paying attention and locked into this team again. So it's going to be an interesting offseason. Let's hear Tockett talking about the team, the year they had, and his takeaway on it.
We squeezed as much juice from this team. I mean, I can't ask for more. I mean, we hung in there. It's a good hockey team over there. They roll four lines. They're flying. We got, you know, I'm not going to get into it now. We got some guys banged up, broken ribs and all that sort of stuff. So I can't. I mean, they gave it all. You know, obviously we'd like a little more possession and there's some things that we could wish done, but, you know, we ran some guys pretty, you know, to the ground a little bit, and they tried tonight.
They did try. I mean, he's talking about.
What are you talking about?
With the ribs?
That's the first thing that I like, because you don't really talk about.
I wondered about Tippett because he didn't play in the series.
Well, it could be Tippett. They had a lot of guys banged up by the end of the series, but by game four, they were, well, scratch Michkov, healthy scratch.
Yep.
Which, you know.
Second time this postseason.
Is going to be a thing this offseason, as much as everybody's going to want to avoid it. Anyway. I think Konechny was banged up, even though he played every game. I think by the end, they were just, he was right. They were pretty broken.
Yeah, banged up is different than broken ribs, though. That's something. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, that goes to show you how tough hockey players are. Man, broken ribs.
It's amazing.
Ribs.
I mean,
Tippett did not play, and I think it's, if that's it, then I don't know.
We're recklessly speculating. It's just that when he said it, it just jumped out at me because you very rarely hear of a direct injury, a specific injury when it comes to hockey players.
Almost never.
Damn.
Yeah, they almost never tell. It is so amazing the difference between a team and just the way we feel about them making their first run versus a team that has given us the same crap over and over. Like, it's hard not to feel good about the Flyers, even though the result of the second round was literally the same thing. Swept at home to end it, right? Like, finished at home.
Yeah. Expectations matter.
They matter so much. Yep. The Sixers, the Flyers remind me of where the Sixers were when they first got in the playoffs 2017, 2018, right? Like, the future is bright. Anything's possible. And now all these 8, 9 years later, we feel like garbage about the Sixers because they've wasted this time.
So, yeah.
The Flyers feel like they have now the next few years to make us feel proud.
Yes. I do want to say, I think there's going to be a tendency or a want to by fans to now immediately raise the bar, raise the expectations for next season. Don't think that we're just an offseason away from being the Carolina Hurricanes. Still going to take some time. I mean, there's the Austin Matthews thing that's out there,
yep.
But that would have to be a trade. If you look at the free agents that are available, nobody really fits what our timeline one or really what we want to do in this offseason, like what we need to acquire. And it's going to take a few years for, I think, these young guys to really come into their own. Like, Porter Martone's still got to add some weight. You know, we'll see what happens with the Michkov thing. I'll be very curious, and this is it reminds me a little bit of the AJ Brown thing. And that no Flyers fan wants to admit that this is a thing. But multiple benchings in the postseason.
That's a lot.
And for the season to end that way with him sitting in the press box. Like, I'm sorry. It's just going to be one of the biggest storylines of the offseason for the Flyers.
Yeah,
just is.
I always feel like this is one of the trickiest things for executives in sports. When your team gets good quicker than you thought, do you go all in? Do you keep pushing?
Yeah.
Or do you kind of play it out in a more natural way? Because fans want to move forward, right? They don't want to just be, like, decent again.
Yeah.
They want to go and win a championship.
So I think the interesting thing we're going to have to look out for, if anything comes out of Michkov's camp about they're unhappy with the way that he was handled this season. Mm. Like, him and his camp have been silent about this whole thing. You know, it was a very similar situation last season. Tortorella sat him way more than Tockett did. I mean, Tortorella, I don't think, was a big fan of Michkov at all. But it was silence. And that, to me, indicated they were like, okay, like, we'll take this on the chin. We understand this is an off season that's very important. We'll go out there and we'll get better. Obviously, that didn't work. He had the injury. So if I hear something this offseason about, like, they didn't love the way that he was handled by the coaching staff or the organization, I got my antenna up on it.
Well, and now, and this is a good thing for them, but also not a good thing, the spotlight is on them, right? They can't, listen, let's just be real. There's been a lot of summers the last 10 years where the Flyers have just, they could have made a move and it's like a tree falling in the forest and no one heard it, right? Like, that's where they were. But now, people are back in, they just watched 2 playoff series. So every move they make or every kind of rumor is going to cause a little reverberation and some waves. So it's a good thing for them because they got interest again. But now we're going to be on things. So we will see where it goes from here. But overall, an excellent end to the season, an excellent playoff run. You feel good about where the Flyers are. The Sixers, you feel like garbage this morning. I watched that game yesterday thinking, I'm a fool. I got fooled last week. I bought back in. I thought they'd compete against the Knicks, and they got rocked.
You are a fool.
I'm a fool. I'm a complete fool. And I'm done being fooled by this. And I'm done. I feel like a moron. And I'm done with the Embiid stuff. That press conference yesterday, his game yesterday on offense was fine. He made every shot he took. His game on defense was embarrassing. He can't move anymore. But the press conference stuff, get this guy out of here. I can't do it anymore. Chuck in Mount Airy's up. What's up, Chuck?
Chuck.
Yo, Jillio. What's the dealio here?
What's up, man?
Chuck.
Hey, listen. This is my end of the season conversation with you guys about the 76ers. Mm-hmm. Hey, I got to get some stuff off my chest, man.
Go for it.
Listen, for the life of me, I want you guys out there, everybody out there, with this disrespectful take, stop comparing this guy to Allen Iverson, okay? Joel Embiid would never be on a level of Allen Iverson. Allen Iverson cared, okay? This guy cried when he couldn't beat the Pacers, okay? So he ain't got nothing on AI but just hype.
Okay? Being cried after the Raptors series, to be fair.
He cried a lot. Yeah, he wanted to win. He was a wee win. I mean,
no,
he had
Embiid
to win
cried.
His heart.
Embiid
he
also cried.
Me, but he wanted to win.
Okay.
And Joel Embiid cried, yeah, but he was a loser, though.
Okay, that was a loser cry. That was a winner cry.
There's differences.
There's a difference, man. But, I just want to say this, man. You know, you got Maxey over there yucking up with those guys. You know, he's too happy to lose, too. You know, you got Daryl Morey still thinks it's 2015. He's competing against the Warriors. You know, he got to build a super team. He doesn't know how to pivot from that. You know, the rest of the league is zigging. He's zagging in the wrong way. You know what I mean? He I don't think he has the capability of building a team, a bench, things of that nature, what a GM is supposed to do. I think he just only knows how to take a boatload of money and give it to the best star that's available, that he thinks is the best star that's available. This thing is done. The 76ers are done. I was fooled by the Celtics series. That was a cool story. But, I mean, to get in there and get big boat raced the way that they did, you know, it's disheartening, man, as a Sixers fan. I don't even know where to look forward to. You know, we're not even in the draft. Do we even have a draft pick at this point? Let me just tell you this, man. I want to say this. Joel Embiid, I've been saying this. It's time to get rid of him, okay? And I said this yesterday to my – I was actually sitting there watching the game. This is the first time I watched him. Actually, it was after game three. I said that – this is the first time I watched him, and I said he should consider retiring. And you know why I said that? I used to say that before, but that was as a bit. I used to say as a bit because I wanted him off the team. But when I watched him on game three, limping off the court, limping on the court, holding his back, holding his head, holding his elbow, holding his arm, you know, won't you just retire, man? Call it quits. Especially with the press conference you gave. You don't care. You care about your family. You care about your kids. You care about your wife. You care about all those things. Well, just retire. You gave 12 years. Your life to basketball. Now you're done. Just retire. Let us out this contract as Sixers fans, man. Since Daryl Morey didn't have the foresight to be able to do it, he's too stupid to be able to let you to get the move on from you. So won't you just take us out of our misery and put a bullet in our head and just quit? Like, just move on, man. Go back to Africa go to France where France, you know, Frenchmen will want you there, you know, and won't you go ahead and live life there comfortably, man, with all the money you made. But let our Sixers fans have our team back, man. And it's a shame we don't have a GM that knows how to build a team, and we don't have an owner that cares. We don't have an owner that knows the difference between a basketball and a hockey puck. You know what I mean? So he's not going to make any moves. You know, you got Magic Johnson in your ear at the Commanders game. Why don't you tell Magic Johnson, why don't you sit there and ask him, hey, how should I build this Sixers team? You think I should get rid of this GM? And maybe Magic could tell you, hey, yeah, get rid of him because he doesn't know what he's doing. You know what I mean? The guy can't build a team. You sit there and you trade away a guy that could have helped us, Jerry McCain, you trade him away for a bag of balls. You know what I mean? And I said we could have won a series with Knicks, but he certainly would have helped us off the bench. You trade him away for nothing because you try to load up and get Giannis. That didn't work for you. That backfired on you because all you know how to do is throw money at guys that's over the hill, at injury-prone guys, at guys that don't have it anymore. You know what I mean? You don't know how to build a team, Daryl Morey. You know, you're just stupid. You know, you're stealing money. Now, that's what you do. You don't know how to build a team, and I'm convinced of that. You know, you lucked into a pick because Elton Brand, he didn't want to pick Tyrese Maxey.
Yep.
You lucked into the third pick last year with VJ Edgecombe. You know, you're just such a moron. It's not even funny. And you know what? I just want you gone. You know, I just want my Sixers back. I don't care if we got to start from scratch. You can go get five players from the G League, and we got to start from – I'll be more happy with that because I can see how we got a future. We don't have no future with these guys, man.
this thing is over with, you know? And you got it. You said something with the, yeah, people want to blame Maxie. I heard Spike say, well, we blame Maxie. Why nobody blame Maxie? Well, until they actually build a team around Tyrese Maxie, that's when I'll start blaming them. They've never built a team around Tyrese Maxie.
To me, it's a pot shot.
Joel Embiid, I know. And it's sad.
Yeah, it is sad. The whole thing is sad. Chuck Wells said, yeah, I mean, Maury's a clown. I mean, let's just be real. He's... Daryl Morey has not adjusted to what the modern NBA is. The NBA that Daryl Morey created all those years ago or helped create is a star-driven league. Three guys, you win with three or four guys.
Mm-hmm.
The NBA today is you need depth.
And that was obvious yesterday.
Yes.
It's been obvious this whole series that they have shooters. They have shooters all over the place, and they can shoot.
Yeah, I mean, to me, to win a championship in the NBA, you either need the one great, great, great player playing at that level. Like, maybe let's go a few years ago when Jokic took the Nuggets, right? Jokic was playing at an all-time level and went on an all-time run. Or you need a lot of really good players and a lot of depth. And the Sixers have neither of those things. The Sixers don't have one player that is playing right now at a level that you'd say, oh, my God, like... No, they don't have anyone like that. I guess Maxie's the closest.
Yeah. He's sporadic at times.
Yeah, of course he is. Right? Yeah. Edgecombe's 20 years old. Embiid, I mean, he couldn't guard a chair right now. He can't. The first three possessions yesterday, the Knicks just attacked. I've never seen Joel Embiid attacked on defense like that, Hugh. It's almost like they were laughing. Like, this guy, he can't guard anyone. We're just going to run around him. It was actually kind of sad watching him on defense in this series, how limited he was just movement-wise. Can't move.
Yeah, and it was tough, man. You know, you talk about the contribution on offense that he's giving you, but it's not the same on defense. And that's why when Jimmy Lynam said it on the show, I felt like he was talking about getting another big man that could shoot and could guard, because that's what this team needs. You need somebody that's going to spell Joel Embiid.
So let me ask you a question. Let's go with your idea and Jimmy Lynam's idea. So let's say they find somehow the trade or whatever. A backup big man that could shoot and defend.
Mm-hmm.
Then Joel Embiid's a bench player? Because that guy sounds better to me than Joel Embiid.
Well, you try to figure out the factor. I mean, he's going to be here, Joe. And I hear what you're saying. And you have to figure out a way to integrate him the best way that you possibly can. This is how I feel about this whole situation. I feel a lot of times that because of Joel Embiid, because of who he is, he integrates himself into the offense when there probably is another plan. Because it feels like, okay, Friday night, you know, we're talking about how it felt like he knew that Joel was going to play an hour before the game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm thinking if you're game planning for the next game, you already have probably a set way that you want to do things, right? But then when you find out Joel Embiid is going to play, that kind of changes a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's probably where the disconnect comes from. But you got to do what you have to do because he's making a lot of money and, you know, he's well respected in the organization. So
is he?
I think so.
I don't know. A year ago, Tyrese Maxey called him out for not working hard.
I hear you. And he called him out, and Joel's biggest problem was who said it. So I think he's still influential in the organization, no question about it.
I just think he brings everything down. I don't know how else to say it. I think the good is outweighed now by the bad.
I don't think we're there. I hear you.
Hugh, he can't guard anyone.
And it is hard to defend, but I don't think that they're there yet. I'm saying. I don't think that the organization
I know more
is
than
there
the Sixers do about this. I mean, I've been saying for 5 years they can't win with them. They keep telling me they can.
No, I'm not going to argue that. I'm not going to argue that with you. But what I'm saying is that's what it feels like.
I know.
It feels like that. It feels like that strongly, to be totally honest. It feels like he's a huge part of how they feel that they're going to fix this team.
Well, they're delusional then. Does anyone in the world think the Sixers could win a title with Joel Embiid? Anybody?
Daryl.
Yeah, I think they feel it.
The person in charge of the Sixers.
Yeah,
okay, thank you. We found the guy. He happens to run the franchise. No, let's go to Terrence in Springfield. What's up, Terrence?
What's up, Terrence? Hey, Joe, Kyle, what's up, man?
What's up, Terrence?
Guys, are we surprised? Like, I'm hearing people all on social media saying we're embarrassed by the Sixers, we're embarrassed by the Sixers. Guys, did we really think in the back of our minds we already knew that there was a chance that these guys were going to collapse? There was a chance that Joel Embiid might get injured. We knew these guys weren't going to win no championship. There were they exceeded expectations. I gotta agree with Spike on this. They exceeded expectations. They stumbled in the play-in. They were a 7th seed. Did we really think a 7th seed was going to go to the championship? Do you really think a 7th seed? Like, it was a great story, but they do this time and time again, Joe. They get our hopes up. then they collapse.
So that's a fair question. No, I did not think they'd win the championship at all, or really at any point, right? But there is a difference between, I mean, I didn't think the Flyers were going to win the Cup, but the Flyers fought in their series. The Sixers went down, they were down 47 points at home yesterday. Like that, it's embarrassing, right? There's a we're not good enough. I think that was the Flyers. There's a we're not good enough, and we rolled over and died. That's the Sixers.
But Joe, we're not going to ever win a championship with Joel Embiid.
I know.
We already know that there's a chance that he's going to run out of gas. He cannot last the whole postseason, let alone the season. So the era is over. And, you know, I know Chuck said something about Maxie, but Maxie didn't show up either this series. It was night and day from the Boston series to the Knicks series. The thing that we did good against Boston when we defended at the three-point line, we fell asleep the whole series, defending the three-point line, something the Knicks don't even do. They don't even shoot threes, and they did the same thing that the Celtics do, and they beat us at that game. And we didn't defend. Maxie had 13, 13, 26, and like 12.
Yeah.
That ain't going to cut it. Mm-mm. I do want to see Maxie get more aggressive. Maxie, like Brunson was torturing him. Maxie has to get aggressive and not stand in the corner. If a beat ain't cooking, Maxie got to take over. And that's the part of the game that Maxie got to mature at. We have to start taking over instead of standing in the corner watching all this happen. But, guys, I saw Josh Harris right after the game. He was going out somewhere. Like, he don't even care about this organization. Sell the team, my guy. Sell the team. You don't care about basketball. You don't care about the city. All you care about is your money. And this contract they gave Embiid was hilarious, guys. And I got Knicks fans all on my timeline talking about how you like that sweep. The Knicks are still not going to win it. They're still not winning the championship. They're in a 53-year drought. They're like, enjoy your little celebration. You're happy because you beat a 7-seed Sixers team. You're still not beating OKC or the Spurs or, hell, even Detroit. Like that's the thing about New York fans. They get so happy and they haven't won squat in over a decade. So go sit down somewhere. Go sit in the corner and enjoy your little second-round win like you won the championship. Go sit down somewhere. Because you haven't done anything.
Yeah,
yet.
They're not going to win. They're not going to win. I mean, this is really, and Terrence, we appreciate the phone call. This is the Thunder's tournament. I mean, it's the same thing as last year. The Thunder are going to win the NBA championship. It's just a matter of time. 215-592-9494. We'll get back to all your phone calls coming up on the Sixers. Is the Embiid era over? Your reaction to yesterday, especially if you were there. If you were there, we'd love to hear from you because that was tough. I mean, that was a tough basketball game to watch. I can't imagine what it was like to watch in person. Both the Sixers Flyers swept. Your reaction to all of it couldn't be different here in this studio to the two teams. And coming up, the Phillies win another series over the weekend. We'll share our thoughts. We got five big takeaways for the Phillies over the weekend, including maybe, was this a direct shot at me from Alec Bohm? That's next. Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Guess what, everybody? Wawa has tacos. Wawa has expanded its fresh prepared food lineup with the launch of seasoned beef tacos, and they're available for a limited time. These cheesy beefy tacos feature warm tortillas filled with Wawa's savory seasoned beef and fresh toppings. The new tacos deliver a craveable handheld option, protein option for you if you're in the fridge and seeing everything like that. You can get your tacos with two spreads and one fresh topping. I tried the garlic aioli, and I did the ranch, and my fresh topping, I got, you know, I had to get lettuce because I had to put some, you know, some roughage in there, some vegetables and everything. And it's all packed in a 6-inch soft flour tortilla for when you're on the go. Seasoned beef is savory, juicy, saucy, not overly spicy, boldly seasoned beef. It's available in all quesadillas, tacos, burritos, and bowls for a limited time while supplies last. So that means you can go there to your favorite Wawa and you can mix and match your lineup and get whatever you want. So check it out at Wawa, the new seasoned beef tacos. Go to your local Wawa today and check it out.